You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm going to have a seat today, and I'll still try to be as animated as usual. And we're talking about this stop, start, and continue. And I'm speaking to you about actually some things I've learned from a book called Frequency by Robert Morris and some teachings. We're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you'd like to get your Bibles prepared for that. In a second, I love this concept. Usually we fast and pray at the beginning of the year, and we all spend a time. But we just thought this year it'd be taking an area of our life and really consecrating it to the Lord and saying, this is dedicated to you. So in this area of our life, we're going to pray and ask you, how can we stop? How can we start? And how can we continue? And the problem is this, there's so many areas of our life and there's so many voices, and there's probably a lot of things that we need to work on, whether that might be a diet or finances or relationship or a spiritual journey. So that's a problem, is there's so many voices. The other problem is this, is we're Americans. We're Americans. Americans think they can do anything all the time. God bless America. Yeah, we can do it, right? And we can handle it all. We can multitask because that's what we do. But this year, I want you to really pray and hear God's voice, because we are a time-obsessed culture. And so we want results, and we want them now, and we want them fast. And when it doesn't happen the way we think it should happen, we tend to lose hope or even blame God sometimes. And I want to say this. We're on a journey of faith. God is not time-consumed, just so you know. Faith requires stamina, perseverance, and going forward in a way. So I want to say this. When I say stop, start, and continue, don't try to tackle everything. Everybody understand that? Allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you for one thing right now. So something that's great. So a great stop, start, and continue scripture that I have, and it's very familiar to us, is in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. This is a good stop, start, and continue scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. So this says this, stop, it's after start, but stop leaning on your own understanding. Stop trying to figure this out all the time. Stop trying to process it and make all the pros and cons and all the things that you think. You're leaning on your own understanding and start trusting the Lord with all your heart. So stop doing that. Start trusting the Lord. And then continue in all your ways, submit to him. And the result is fantastic. He will make your path straight. How many love to have straight paths? How many are like going all over the place like this and down and over and up and down? And you're like, wow, it took me a long time to get there. If you will do this, stop leaning on your own understanding, start trusting him in all your ways, and continue to submit your ways to him. I love this. He says he's going to make your path straight. That's powerful. One thing we talked about last week that differentiates us from those who don't follow after Christ is our ability to hear the voice of God, to hear his voice in every area. So when we talk about a job or we talk about a relationship or we're thinking about something, our final part of the process is, God, what do you think? And we learned last week we have a good shepherd that leads us, and we have a great friend who advises us. So stop believing last week the lie that God doesn't speak to you, whether that's because you've done something wrong, whatever that is. Stop believing that lie. Start asking his opinion. God, what do you think about this? And continue listening, following, and obeying. So today's sermon, we're going to talk about the value of his voice, the value of his voice. And it's going to be in, I think I probably put 2 Samuel up there, but I think it's 1 Samuel. I hope so. Or I'll be reading a story that's just totally not involved. Yeah, 1 Samuel 3. I'm going to read through the story and then we'll go back and make some comments. 1 Samuel 3:1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. Eli was a high priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. And one night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. He hadn't turned off his little side lamp, you know, when you go to bed and it's still on. And Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. And the ark of God in the Old Testament always was a type of the presence of God, that the presence of God. So he's in there around the presence of God. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to Eli and said, here am I, you called me. But Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. So he went down and lay down again. And again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am. You called me. My son Eli said, I did not call you. Go back and lie down. Now, here it is. Now, Samuel did not yet know, I'm going to put in, the Lord's voice. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. Right? So a third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me. Then, this big high priest guy, Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there calling as he did the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. If you go on the rest of the chapter, God begins to speak to Samuel. It was actually a prophetic word that was interesting. Eli was the high priest at the time, but God had something against Eli. And the reason that God had something against Eli is Eli had two sons that were priests, and they were using their position as leverage for their own good, that they were abusing the position that they had. And God was not happy with that, but Eli didn't take it seriously. He sort of brushed over it. It was his kids after all. And he didn't go and rebuke them as he should. He didn't correct them as he should. So actually the word that Samuel got was, tell Eli, I'm not happy with them and I'm about to make things right. That's an interesting word for a guy that's been serving under Eli. So God spoke to Eli. But the things I want to focus on right here is this. And it very well could be that the word of God was rare at that time. It says the word of God was rare at that time. Was because Eli wasn't truly following the Lord. It was so rare that here is his protege that he's been ministering to all during his life. He's been there living with him. And he had never heard the word of the Lord before. He didn't know what his voice sounded like. And some of you are probably sitting there and go, I don't either. When people get up on stage and go, God told me this and God told me that. How do you know that? I don't understand that. And so this is where Samuel's at. He doesn't know the voice of the Lord. And Eli finally, after like three times, realizes it's God speaking and tells him, next time say this. I'm here. I'm listening. What do you want, Lord? And I would say that to some of you. If you don't know, just say, yeah, what do you want, God? See what happens. You won't know until you try it out. I want to go back to verse 1. It says, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions, which is true. But if you read this actually in other versions, like the King James Version says it this. It says, the word of the Lord was precious. The word of the Lord was of value. In fact, if you look under the Hebrew word definition of this, rare doesn't come up. Value comes up. It was very valuable. It was very precious. And of course, when something's rare, it is very valuable. But I want to say this. The word of the Lord to them was very precious. It had a lot of value. And so when God finally speaks, they listen because they realized how important that is. And here's the point I want to make today is if you're sitting there, or maybe you're like Samuel and you go, I don't really know. Maybe it is God. You have to come to a place where you are convinced that the word of the Lord to you is precious, that it has high value in your life. You need to stop and say, God, unless you speak, I won't take another step. That's how precious and valuable your word is to me. I'm going to wait until I hear your voice for me to go in this situation. And when others say the Lord speaks to me, we want that to be precious. We want that to be held in value. So when they can stand and say, it's not a flippant thing. It's something that they thought through. It's something that they've heard and they believe it's true. They've weighted that thing in their heart. So when they speak that, when I come up and speak today and say, this is what I think God's speaking to you, I wrestle with that. I consider this valuable, of worth. It's precious. So we want that to happen. So today I'm just going to give you some practical ways to say, you know what, God, I'm going to, in my life, set value to your voice. And here's some ways I'm going to give value to your voice. And first thing is you need to set an appointment. I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 19. This is God speaking to Moses and the people, verses 10 through 11 says, and the Lord said to Moses, go to the people and consecrate them today. Set them apart. And tomorrow, have them wash their clothes and be ready. He's setting an appointment. By the third day, because on that day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. So they're just preparing themselves. They're getting ready. They've set an appointment with God. God says, I'm going to come. And verse 19 says, at the sound of the trumpet, this is after they've got themselves ready. At the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder. Moses spoke, and the voice of God answered them. They set an appointment. God set an appointment. We set appointments with people we don't even like. My wife will look at my calendar. She has access to my calendar. She knows what's going on. She reminds me all the time. She goes, why are you meeting with that person? I don't know. They called and they got some ministry they want me to know about. And I don't know. She goes, yeah, okay. You know, and I set appointments with people that I'm not even sure about. But do we set an appointment with the most important thing that we value in our life? I think we need to. I mean, I've gone to timeshares, sales pitches, just so I can get one free night in a hotel in Sedona, right? I've sat through that. And if you want to hear the voice of God, I think it's important to set an appointment. Put it down in your smartphone. Set a time and a date. Maybe you're saying, well, my schedule is full. Well, take that time that you commute and say, this is my time. I'm going to set an appointment with the Lord and talk to him about these things. And I'm always a very honest and open guy, and I'm dealing with some stuff that causes pain in my life right now. And some of you have been around when I've been in a cluster sort of session, and they started again. And I had one last night. That's why I'm sort of sitting down. But I feel guilty sometimes when I get before the Lord, because all my prayer is, God, please help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. I'm tired. I just need to get through the day, and I don't have a lot of vision, and I don't have a faith, and I feel bad. So when I feel like that in the morning, I've actually had sort of stopped just sort of having my appointments, if you will, because I just felt like, man, who likes to hear somebody whine? I mean, that's how, I'm just being honest with you, right? And so I've been praying, God, what do you want to stop? What do you want to start when you continue? And God spoke this word to me this week. He goes, stop thinking that I don't care about that. Amen. Yeah, stop thinking I don't do that. And start just pouring out your heart to me. I don't care what it is, right? And continue having your times with me. I don't care if you're in pain. And you know how many fathers would say the same thing to their children? I just like spending time with you. And I don't care if it's you're just telling me how bad of a day you had or what's going on. Those times are precious to me. And man, it was a powerful word to my heart. And I want to speak that to you, okay? Because some of you in the same way, you go, man, all my prayers are God. And it's okay. David did it all the time. He just poured out his heart to God. And God comes in places that are prepared. When we prepare a time, he always shows up. Every Sunday, we prepare for this day because we believe God's going to speak to you. And so our children's ministry, they get the little crafts together about what they're teaching, and they have little games they're going to play, all based around so that the children will understand some aspect or some story about God, that they'll hear about God. The youth get together, they're talking about what games are we going to play, how can we get the kids connected so this becomes a good place for them. So when they go to church, they go, I heard the voice of God, God spoke to me. Our worship, they practice on Thursday night, and I want to thank Louis Acosta for coming and being our worship leader today. But Thursday night, I love it. He got the team together, and he said this. He goes, I want us to come Sunday with anticipation that God is going to speak to us. He's going to do something. I come that way. Believe it or not, I do prepare for my messages, sometimes not till late Saturday night, but I do prepare. And God comes to a place when we make it a priority to set an appointment, God shows up to that. He goes to that. So in this culture, I realize that time has extreme value, and where you spend your time shows what you value most. And if you want to place a strong value on hearing the voice of God for your life, you need to set aside a time to hear his voice and set that in stone. It's unmovable in your calendar. That's why I love our seeking service coming up. Our seeking service allows us to have a little more freedom of expression with interaction and speaking prophetically over people and praying together. It just gives us a freer atmosphere than we can have on a Sunday morning. I hope you can make that service. So set an appointment. The second thing I want to tell you that's really practical is learn to listen. Here's some scriptures about that. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Exodus 14:14. Some of you need to just say, that's my scripture for today. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. In 2 Chronicles 20:17, it says, you'll not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord God will give you. And so sometimes we just need to sit there and listen and hear what he's saying, that he's going to deal with that. And we forget to do that. I love the scripture in 2 Chronicles, because the 20, if you read that whole scripture out, what happens is they actually send out the worshipers first in the battle, which I think is a good idea, to send the worshipers always first in the battle. They can use the guitars, the drumsticks beating on the guy's head, whatever. So send the worshipers out. And when they sent the worshipers out, it threw all the armies in confusion. They fought each other, and the victory is won just by worship. And I'm going to tell you what happens in my life is when I try to get to a place where I'm trying to really listen to God, the first thing I have to do is really set a time of worship in my own heart. Because what worship does is worship drowns out all the other voices that are they're just pounding in my head right now. The noise of the situation will often drown out the voice of God. Mark Olson, author of Just Listen, tells a story. He was going in for, his book is Just Listen, and he tells a story. He was going into a meeting with the guy. He was a very high-powered guy, business meeting. He never met the guy before, but big sports guy. He's sitting behind the desk, and he begins to talk to the guy with something he thinks very important for the man to hear. And the man's just preoccupied, and he could tell by his answers, by the way he's looking down. And finally, he stopped after 4 minutes into it, and he goes, how much time do you have for me? And the guy looks up and goes, what? He goes, how much time do you got for me? Like in this strong, he goes, check your calendar. You put it in there. How much time? And the guy looks down and he goes, 20 minutes. And he goes, we're 4 minutes in, and there's apparently something on your mind more important than me. Why don't you deal with that in the next 16 minutes? We'll reschedule my appointment so that the next person coming in will get your full attention. Says this to the guy. The guy breaks down crying. He goes, we got a report this morning. My wife has stage 4 cancer. And he's breaking down crying. And he says, you don't even know me. And I walked in the office and nobody figured out anything. Nobody asked, but you're sitting there and you're asking me. And this is it, is we need to make sure that the noise of all the things that are going on, we need to put ourselves in a place that we can listen. And we can just sort of deal with the stuff that's going on, get that off your mind, get that off your plate, so we can be still before God and really listen to what he's saying. And worship is deal with it time, to me. The reason we start with worship every week is so that when God's word is presented, all the stuff, all the noise, all the huge things that you think are overwhelming, it begins to subside, because you're spending this 20, 30 minutes where you're saying, you're a good God, you're a great king. And all of a sudden, those things begin to subside and faith begins to arise, so that when the word goes forward, it's being able to be received. And I want to say this about your own personal time. Take time to calm your spirit. Take time to get rid of the anxiety. I do that through worship. And sometimes it's just playing songs. Sometimes it's singing songs. It just gets my mind off of something. And so I would say this. If you really want to value the Word of God, you set an appointment, but you get yourself in a position where you can really listen to what God is saying to you. And you can hear his voice clearly. And the last thing I'm going to talk to you about is, this is very practical, is document or record what God said. Because there's going to be a time when the word of the Lord might be rare to you. And you can go back and go, but I know he spoke here. And I know he spoke here. And I see the miracles. I was going to speak on this, but we have the queen of journaling in our midst. She said, don't call me the queen, the princess of journaling in our midst. Shannon, if you've read her blog, My Little Journey, is phenomenal. It's meant a lot to your life, so I've asked her to share a little bit about what it means to journal for her.
Said if he wanted to say that, he had to give me a crown, but no crown, or at least a chocolate bar. Journaling, I consider myself a scribe, but before I even considered myself a scribe, I was a journaler. I've always journaled since I was a kid. And it's been quite a journey for me of going from when I was in counseling, my counselor recognizing that I wasn't really being honest even in my journals, and she's like, are you just recording the day, or are you actually writing what you feel and what's going on? And so I had to journey through, I had to become comfortable even with that. And I did. I got to that place where I was just like able to just kind of throw up on paper. And then about three years ago, the Lord kind of gave me this idea. Well, I'll say it came from, I'd read this and someone else had done this. A book I read, I can't even remember the book, but it kind of planted the idea in my heart that why don't you write what you hear him saying? And that sounded too, I was a little afraid of that idea at first. I'm like actually write the voice of the Lord. It felt like something only the Bible people could do, right? Like, I can't do that. I can't write the voice of the Lord. But I was like, I'll give it a shot. So my journals always kind of have come out like, you know, I'd say they've come out kind of like prayers. I've always directed them at the Lord. That's always been how I've written. And so I literally started writing, Dear Shannon. And then I would wait and I would write what I heard the Lord saying. And it has been so encouraging. I've got countless journals. I have a shelf that I'm slowly filling with journals that, for one, there's been places where I've recorded what the Lord has said. And I think in the moment when something amazing happens, I'm going to remember this forever. We're not going to remember it forever. When life is hard, I'm going to forget. And I have to go back and go, that's right. That's what God said. And it's also been, I will say, all of the things that Pastor Lloyd has said, setting the appointment and listening, I can honestly say, I started out setting that appointment every day to do that. Now, because of that daily journaling, daily writing the voice of the Lord, I can hear him when I'm at Chick-fil-A. I can hear him when I'm, you know, and it's become a part of the everyday. So what started out as I'm going to sit here and have this time and speak and listen has become part of my just all day, every day. And that's been the beautiful thing about it. So I am the queen of journaling because it's so important. And I would say this, so many people, when I talk about like, I'm afraid, just in the name of Jesus, put that away. That just goes away. There's no fear, and you can't mess up. You can't do it wrong. Start out writing. You should see some of the stuff I wrote. I'm much better at it now than I used to be. But just don't allow the fear to get in the way of, I don't know if I can do that. Sit down and just say, Lord, I'm not afraid. I'm just going to write what I hear. And you're going to start to recognize his voice because you have all of this recorded of what the Lord has said. So that's my story on journaling.
I do want to say that I think it's a lot easier to hear the Lord at Chick-fil-A than McDonald's. But I mean that's not anybody can hear the Lord at Chick-fil-A, right? That's sort of... So when you get to McDonald's, let me know, all right? So, I want to close with just a video from Bill Hybels. It's called Whispers, the book, and he has a highlight from this on a video here.
Over the years, I've tried to coach people how they can get into a position where they can maybe hear more promptings from God. And this gets a little on the practical side of things, but sometimes that's what you have to do. I remember coaching our whole congregation on these basics one day, and afterwards there was a young advertising executive who approached me after the service, and he said, what kind of world do you live in that you could actually spend time every day, like meeting with God and listening for whispers? He said, I don't live in that kind of world. I commute to downtown Chicago, leave the house at 5:30 in the morning, get back at 6:30 at night. I just can't make room for that kind of thing in my life. And I said to him, well, I make room for anything in my life that I think has value. And I think listening to God and hearing his promptings and whispers has a value. So I'm not trying to compare my schedule and yours. I'm just saying I've made room for this in my life. You've got a choice to make in your life. And he walked away. I thought maybe I'd never see him again. Many months later, he came down and saw me after a service, and his countenance was different. He just looked a little bit more centered and maybe a little less frenzied. And he said, I wonder if you and your wife would come over to our house for a dinner. And I said, well, I'll have to check with the boss, but I'll get back to you. And I did, and they lived in the area. And so Lynn and I went over to their home. And we were having appetizers, and he tugged at my sleeve, and he said, come see something I've wanted to show you for a long time. And I didn't know what he was going to show me, but he took me to a room that overlooked his back deck, and there was a rocking chair, a really quality rocking chair. He said, that day you told me that maybe I should, you know, make time to quiet myself before God and read his word and listen to his whispers. He said, I went out and I bought a quality rocking chair. I love rocking chairs. And I decided I would make time in the morning to sit in that rocking chair and overlook my back deck, have a cup of coffee, and just read God's word and see what would happen. And he said, I've been doing this virtually every morning since you gave me that challenge. Several months later, I was quite surprised. I ran into this man after a church service, and he said, could I have a private conversation with you? I'm thinking about leaving the advertising business. And I knew he had been very successful in that vocation. And I said, well, tell me about this. And he said, well, you know, I sit in that chair every day. And as I've been searching God's word and listening for promptings, I just decided there's something of greater value that I'd like to do with the best hours of my day. And he said, I'm good at advertising, but God's been prompting me a little bit. Maybe I could help you build Willow. And I said, well, you know, no one's getting any salaries around here, and it's very hard work, and we don't know if the church is ever going to really make it. So I can't promise you anything, really. And he said, I've done quite well in advertising. My savings can hold me over for a time. I said, well, you go back to that rocking chair and you make sure this is of God, because I don't really want to take responsibility for your life and family and so. And several weeks later, he came back and he said, I resigned from my position downtown. He said, I'm ready to come to work tomorrow morning. And I said, really? And he did. And he started working as an unpaid employee at Willow and was a fantastic staff member. And the church was able to get a little bit stronger, and we were able to pay him a salary, again, as the church began to compile a little more resource. And then it was several years after that he came into my office, and he said, I need to have a conversation with you. I think God's prompting me to leave Willow and help a friend of mine start a church in Colorado. I said, where did this all come from? He said, well, you know that chair. You know, I still sit in it every morning. And my friend really has a heart to start this church in Colorado, and he needs help. And he said, God's been prompting me. I think I'll go back into the advertising vocation out west, and maybe I can earn money to support the start of that new church. And I said, really? You really think God's telling you to do this? Maybe you should go back to that chair for a little while and get confirmation of this kind of thing. And so he did. And several weeks later, he came back and he said, God confirmed this is what I'm supposed to do. So in just a few months, he packed his family up and he moved to Colorado, where he got a job in advertising and gave most of the money from his salary to the launch of that new church. And you would think that this story has a happy ending, but it was only a few years after the launch of that church in Colorado that he was sitting in that same chair one day and absorbed a doctor's report that said cancer had enveloped his body and it didn't look good. And he brought that doctor's report right to that chair and prayed over it and asked God to do a miracle. And a miracle in his case wasn't going to happen, but he asked God to give him peace that passes human understanding. And God did answer that prayer. And he faced a very difficult and painful death from the strength that he gained every day in that chair. And there came a day when they had to move him out of that chair and put him in a hospital bed. It was a very tough day. And he wasn't in that hospital bed very long, and he died. The family asked if I would fly to Colorado and give the eulogy at his funeral. I did. It was a very tough thing to do. He's a fantastic guy. After the funeral was over, I talked to his wife, and I said, what are you going to do with that chair? And she said, well, we're going to keep that chair in the family. You know, God changed Tom's life in that chair. God whispered to Tom in that chair. And she was saying, we'd like to pass that chair from one generation to the next, to the next. But never underestimate what God can do in a chair or in the front seat of a pickup truck. Some of the carpenters who attend our church just meet with God and listen for whispers, front seat of a pickup. Some people do it on a commuter train going downtown, and other people would do it in a coffee shop. It doesn't matter where so much, just that you devote the time to quiet yourself, to listen to God, and to be open to what He might say to you.
Would you stand with me this morning? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you, and we have determined that we're going to stop leaning on our own understanding. We're going to stop that. We're going to start trusting in you, listening to you, hearing your voice, and we'll continue to obey you in our ways, because today we declare that your voice is precious to us. You agree with that? Your voice has value to us. And as a form of that prayer, let's finish with singing this song together.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.